Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our worship this morning. Whether you're here in the building or whether you're joining us online, our prayer is that this time helps you come into a sense of worship and fellowship with our Lord and Creator. First of all, to read a short reading from the Psalms. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. When I was preparing this service, I thought, let's revive a few old songs. And for those of you who've been Christians for a long time will know these. They're about 50 years old in a lot of cases. Who knows the songs, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Who knows this is the day that the Lord has made. Who knows rejoice in the Lord always. We're going to sing them as a medley. And I'm hoping that you guys will feel happy and joyful at the end of them, because they are happy, joyful songs. So please, stand, and let's worship the Lord with some really old songs. One, two, three, four.
Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free.
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. This is the day.
Dear Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. But we lower our heads before you and confess that we too have often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things, we ask your forgiveness. We also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and an open heart, so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and those you have given us.
Change my
Time for the kids to come down the front. We'll have our kids talk today. That's uno, duo. Have we got trio? Three amigos, eh? Now look, today I wanted to talk about God's love. Now imagine if God's love, there we go, uno, duo, trio. That's quattro is about as far as I can go in Spanish. So I wanted to talk about God's love and what that would feel like if it was a, you know, it was clothing we put on. Imagine God's love was like something we put on. You know, would it be like a jumper that's the same size for everybody? Now, I need a volunteer to stand up. I'm going to try some things. Imagine God's love. I think you've already got, do you want to hop up for a sec? Imagine God's love is, come on. A hat. Well, just messed you here. Well, God's that. No. Sorry about that. All right. God's love. What about if God's love with a leather jacket? Well, who wants to wear this? No. No. What about if God's love was like a dress? That looks nice. Yes, well, it could be. Why not? What about if God's love was like a port pastor? Okay, what else have I got here? Okay, that's about it, I think. A sock? What if God's love was like a sock? Oh, that's probably... And I've got a bag. Okay, so what am I trying to say here? What is God's love like, do you think? Is it the same size for everybody? Is it different? Is it just like, what is God's love like?
Different,
okay, yep, different. So like, each one, it's like putting on clothes. It all fits differently, doesn't it? Like, we don't have the same clothes, do we? No, we couldn't fit into them.
We can't see it.
Can't see God's love. No, that's a good point too. So God's love fits us all, because we're all different sizes, and we can't see it. But sometimes we can hear it, yes. Any other comments, Gabby? What do you think? What about God's love? What do you think about God's love? Do we share it? Do we feel it? Do we...
We tell people about it.
We can tell people about it too. All right, so in Sunday school, you guys are going to be doing some thinking about God's love. And let me share a prayer. So you guys are going to do some Sunday school stuff, and then we'll come back and we'll do some communion together, all right? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for God's love and how it fits us all differently, and how your love we can't see, but it's there for us. It just makes a difference. So we pray for these kids as they go out and the teachers with them as they explore what God's love means to them. And we pray for ourselves also. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right. Go. Thank you. Good. Yeah, notices. All right. Yes, so we've got some notices as well. I would like to say thanks, Adrian, for doing some leading worship today. It's great. Let's give Adrian a round of applause. And no, you're not having a flashback. That is Bill in the back corner, so give Bill a round of applause.
So these guys have been working hard on it. So your grapevine, hopefully you had that in your email. If you didn't, there's a couple of coffees still left. They're going very fast today. We have our AGM coming up shortly. Also, we need someone to chair the congregational meeting at the AGM. So if you're feeling like you just, that's you, you'd like an opportunity to sit down and just help that flow through well, let me know during the week. Otherwise, I might be ringing you during the week. Also, there is an adult fellowship, a special event, Wednesday the 8th of March. A certain June, Godwin is turning 90 years of age. Very impressive. Wherever June is, can't see, put your hand up here. Oh, there you are, over in the corner. Nice. Lovely. Good job. Leon is going to share a couple of quick notices.
Thank you, David.
Yep, just keep going.
Good morning.
Woohoo!
In the foyer, there are two clipboards, and I'm being dazzled by a fire engine outside. Don't worry, it's not for us. The clipboards, one is for pastoral care. Now, there are some people that do need pastoral care, but we need some helpers to either make a phone call or to communicate with them. So if you can put your name on one of those clipboards. The second clipboard is we're looking for helpers for the market on the 15th of April. So if you can do one of the stalls or help, it's specified there as to what it is all about. So if you can have a look at those, they're on the left-hand or the right-hand side as you're going out, or the left-hand side, depending upon where you're standing. And another thing, there are two other things that I'm hoping to do. The Easter egg giveaway. Now, what I need is some donations of small, solid Easter eggs. Now, that notice didn't go in the grapevine this week. And if you could help me with those, there will be a box out in the foyer in the coming weeks. So if you could help me with those so we can dispense those and let the community know that we're still here. And also, again, letting the community know that I'm proposing to do the barbecues again on the fourth Saturday of this month. So if any of you blokes or any of you ladies would like to help on that particular Saturday, please see me. Thank you.
Thank you, Leon.
It's time for us to bring the offerings to God. And we're going to sing a classic old hymn, Take My Life As It Be.
Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
every second of every day. We thank you for everything that you give us, because we don't have it unless you give it to us. And Father, we pray now for that little bit that we give back to use within the church or to further your kingdom. We ask you to bless it and bless the people who have been designated with the responsibility of distributing it. In your son's precious name we pray.
Amen.
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 Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I would like to introduce you to Reese, my hearing dog. She can be patted. There's two readings today. The first reading is from John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son himself, God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The next reading is from John chapter 13, verses 33 to 35. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the word of God.
How are you today? It's good to see you. It's been such a strange weather again. Beautiful day yesterday. I considered actually putting some sunscreen on briefly, but it's been just unusual weather, isn't it? So, if I said 10 is a definition of being fantastic, 1 is a definition of horrible, how many people would put their hands up between 1 and 5? How many between 5 and 10? So it's out of somewhere in here. I'm just trying to get a gauge. It'd be nice if we had one of those barometers across our head. I could look at you and think, yes, you're doing really well today, or no, you're needing a bit of help. So, I can see why Leon was distracted. There's a great big fire truck out there. So, let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. And amongst all the distractions in life, we realize that your message of hope and love remains. And we ask that we might go away today with a bit more of a glimpse. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We have been looking at Philip Yancey's Vanishing Grace. It's a book, and we're using that through Lent. And we're into our second week this week. And the title this week is Grace Endangered. For us, I guess we think, what does that mean? And last week we were talking about how the world in which we live, particularly in the West, has really shifted its openness towards what it means to be a person of faith, and even, you know, how they relate to Christians. And Micah was here during last week, and I mentioned how, you know, if in my time, if I ever wanted to kill a conversation with people I'd just met, if I mentioned the fact that I was a minister of religion, that just killed the conversation beautifully. And Micah sent me a link during the week, which was from a YouTube. It was from England somewhere, and they were having a conference, and this a minister said a similar thing. He said, you know, I'm a minister of religion, and whenever I tell anybody that, they all look like I've got some disease. But he said, on a plane, I thought I'd do something very different. He said, I was sitting next to a woman on a plane, and she said, well, what do you do? He said, well, actually, I work for a worldwide organization that distributes food and care, and we're involved in hospitals and schools and universities. We're extensively across the whole world making change, making lives better and people's lives more fulfilled. She goes, oh, what organizer is that? He said, the church. But it's interesting, isn't it? So we talk about faith, we talk about life. If there's one thing you had to say about faith, what is one thing that's been a positive thing in your life? Just maybe turn to the person next to you, do a bit of thinking yourself. If someone said, why do you have faith? What is one thing you would say? Is there anything you'd say? Would you go, I'm still growing slowly in my... I don't know. You've got 20 seconds. I'm giving you a reflection time early today. What is one thing? What is one thing about faith you'd say is significant? Why does it help? So faith is something more than just because Jesus said, right, go and share the good news. Suddenly that's what we do. I mean, it has a connection with us. We're here because there's a connection. And, you know, there's lots of different quotes. Like the one I came across from Moody, it's, I guess must be 80 years old. Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he or she can find bread. That's an interesting one, isn't it? That idea that, you know, really we're no different from anybody else. We're all in search of meaning and purpose. And as Christians, we found some stuff that makes a difference. And we're really trying to help others connect in that as well. Search for meaning is such a big thing. And last week we were talking about how our listening has a capacity to help people get in touch with some of the things that are going on for them. Search for meaning. Search for meaning. We all have it, don't we? And there's always that tension in life. When something goes wrong, the things that we had assumed get challenged, don't they? We have to rethink them. Man, where are we going? What are we doing? I thought this was the way, actually. That's a big wall there, so I need to come up with a different plan. Plan A, B, C, D, or E. I often would say to you, like when I was in army, you know, most people would have a plan A and plan B. In the army, you need a plan alphabet because things change so often. You just had to keep thinking, well, I need another plan. Purpose and meaning. It's something we all have. Now, secular people have the same sort of thing too. Reading a quote from Yancey's book, he said how one therapist lists a whole pile of complaints she hears from clients each day. Emptiness, vague depression, a yearning for personal fulfillment, a hunger for spirituality, a diagnosis of a lost soul, etc., etc., etc. And I guess really what she was saying is that we have this, we live in an environment where it's so full of material possessions and wealth, that if that just simply becomes our reason for being, you know, there's a certain buzz and a high you get with a new product, but that doesn't last that long. And for many people, if that's the only reason they live, we long for meaning in our lives, all of us as human beings. And we long for community. because we're all in this together. So, you know, really it's fascinating. Having faith doesn't mean we're immune to frustrations and anxiety and challenges. We all know that's the case. But it's really the faith that is the connection, the hope. What is it about this faith journey that keeps us going? Yancey writes lots of stuff in his book, and I've got a few quotes in here I'd like to read. And one of the things this Christian is sharing her frustrations with Yancey. And she's sharing away, and suddenly she catches herself for being too negative and cynical. And she says, "There's so much I'm still trying to figure out," she added. "But I think honest critique is important. I'm just in the process of figuring out what it means to do it in love." And Yancey says, "This woman put her finger on the core problem Christians have with communicating faith today. We do not always do so in love. That's the indispensable starting point to presenting faith in a graceful way." And I guess it's really, in many ways, the kids' talk was really trying to reinforce that everybody has a different shape. And if we assume that everybody's a size M for massive, and that'll all fit everybody, then we're just trying to constrict God's work in people's lives. God works differently in each one of our lives. My next slide. Now, one of the interesting things Yancey does is he's really quite honest to get feedback from people. And so he'll often do surveys. And he asks people to sort of explain or respond to the question of what the top four comments were about Christians. And this is obviously America. And the question was, so when they asked people who weren't Christian what their experiences of Christians were, their top four comments were, "You don't listen to me, you judge me, your faith confuses me, you talk about what's wrong instead of making it right." Now, you might be thinking, "Gee, I picked a bad day to come to church. David, I'm going to go home feeling miserable. What are you doing?" But it's like, look, what's the truth? Yeah, what's the truth? Truth is, we're not perfect 100% of the time. Sometimes we say things and do things in ways that just put people off. But awareness is an important thing, because awareness then makes us accountable. It's a bit like someone, if you're having an argument with someone and they always blame you for everything, and you know full well that actually the other person started the argument. If there's a failure of accountability, then it misses the point. Accountability helps both people understand what's going on, take responsibility for their actions, and work at building that relationship. And I suppose when we consider really God's aim in the world to be driven by love, sometimes that is a bit awkward, isn't it? Yancey also writes this. He says, "I doubt God keeps track of how many arguments we win. God may indeed keep track of how well we love. When I ask, 'Tell me the first word that comes to your mind when I say Christian,' no one has suggested the word love. Yet without question, that is the proper biblical answer. 'As I have loved you, so you must love one another,' Jesus commanded his disciples." So the reading up next. Next slide. "A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Let's read this one together. "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." You know, I find that fundamentally is what we're about, isn't it? And without love, we're just like a hollow gong. One of Yancey's friends was a corporate, what would you call him? A corporate consultant. This person was a corporate consultant, and in a conversation with Yancey, he said, "Well, you know what, I've done lots of study. I've done,
universities, courses, leadership, conflict management, communication, but I've never done a course in love. And he scratched his head and thought, well, I wonder what that would look like to do a course in love. I've never done any training with all the people I do consultation with about what it means to love. And yet love is the foundational emotion that connects us all. So at a seminar he was leading, he asked the simple question to all the people, when have you felt loved? So to this group of people who'd come together for a consultation on leadership or communication, he said, well, when was the last time you ever felt loved? Or what is it that happens that makes you feel loved? Feeling loved is a strong sense of affection, appreciation, admiration. It is a powerful, powerful thing. And it's interesting, out of that group of people, they came out with a whole list. And if you want to go back to the, well done, look, this guy's, we're synced today, the brain is, I wonder why my finger was twitching like this, Kenny. Hey, okay, when do you feel love? When someone listens to me attentively, makes me feel important, encourages me, cares for me while I'm hurting, gives me an unexpected gift. When do you feel loved? Is there a particular thing that makes you feel loved? I mean, we talk about love languages and all that sort of stuff, but is there a particular thing that happens that makes you feel loved? What sort of stuff? Hey, you can turn to the person next to you if you want to talk. You can yell something out to me. I don't mind. We're interactive today, people, like all days. What sort of things? Yeah.
When my daughter phones me up in the morning to ask me how I am.
So when my daughter phones me up in the morning, says, hey, Mum, how are you? How you doing? Yeah. Bit of connection. Nice. For others? People come up to you and say good day, show you some interest. Yep. Chocolate is always one of my love languages. No. Hugs. I love hugs. Which gets me into trouble because nowadays when it's supposed to be not touching. But love, you know those things that make us feel accept. Yes.
Jesus.
Jesus makes me feel loved. Yes, good job, Heather. So he did this with this group of people. And one of the ladies from this seminar went back to her work. And it was a toxic work environment. And so she said, right, I've got 15 people I'm working with. I'm going to go in and say, hi, how are you? And so after 4 years working in this place and not knowing her team, she dropped into the first office and said, hi. And the man had a panic attack and said, what have I done wrong? Are you going to fire me? And he said, no. She said, I just want to come in and say, how are you? What's going on? How are you today? And so she did this with every office. And I'm not sure, it didn't say whether she did that every day or whatever, but she just did this regularly. And then one day, her boss calls her into his office. She goes, oh. Gets her to sit down. He says, I really don't know what you're doing. This business was about to go broke. And we're not now, and it's all your fault. What do you mean? He says, well, I asked all the people, and they said the reason we're not broke is because of you. So whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So again, it's a pithy story which really tries to say again, when we undervalue the impact we each have on other people's lives, we miss the point of the power of love. And loving one another is really significant. Next quote, where are we up to, Maestro? This is another, Yancey's got lots of different quotes. I try to compress one chapter into a sermon, which is impossible. But some of the quotes are just beautiful. Like, somehow Jesus managed to attract the kind of people frowned upon by most religious types. And yet those renegades clearly liked being with Jesus. This is the prostitute who crashed a dinner party and anointed him with expensive perfume. Or of Zacchaeus, a tax collector scorned by his neighbours as a Roman collaborator. Rather than judging them, Jesus loved and honored them, and in the process brought to the surface a thirst only Jesus could satisfy.
You know, isn't that part of the hope that God's love fits all of us, regardless where we are, who we are, what we're doing? And I think that's the beautiful part of grace. God's undeserved favor. It's not something we earn, but it's there present for us. I've said that a number of times when I'm doing funerals, and when I was at Enfield many years ago, I said, look, you know, God's love, you know, we cannot earn this love. It doesn't matter how attractive, how smart, how brilliant, how long we've been a Christian for, if we've never been a Christian. You know, none of us earn it. It's just a gift. And I had someone come up to me afterwards and just say, you know, I recognize your voice from a previous funeral I went to. I said, oh, what, squeaky and high-pitched? No, no. The message of God's love for me makes me think there's even opportunity and space for me. And I just thought, well, that's beautiful. And that's really the hope we all have, is making space for others. And I think part of this, honouring other people and respecting them, even if they're different. It's hard, but it's fundamentally about building that relationship, isn't it? That connection. Next slide I would like to pick up is one that I think... Humility is a funny word. And depending on how you define humility, like sometimes being humble, people think you're like a worm crawling along the ground, you know, just submissive and a doormat. But for me, humility is one of those things that has a balanced view of ourselves and others. And when Yancey was talking to Nguyen, Henry Nguyen, this is a part of the definition of humility. Yancey quotes Henry Nguyen, who spoke about humility being the fundamental attitude required by Christians in our hostile world. Humility is a real Christian virtue. When we come to realize that only God saves, then we're free to serve, then we can live truly humble lives. You know, I think what is meant by that is sometimes people think that they can change my mind by the force of their conviction. And I have to tell you, that doesn't happen. And you know what? I know that about you too. I cannot change your mind by just being forceful and being different. Because we all have our own truths. And part of the dialogue that is in mutual respect is about recognizing we all have views in life. And what I like about humility, and I'm going to do some more thinking about this in the next week or two for myself personally, what does humility look like in my interactions with others? You know, really, like, fascinating, powerful word. Am I a humble person? I would not call myself humble. And yet, I need to really consider deeply what it means to value other people's opinion as much as my own. What does that look like? How does that work? And if we're Christians in a world where people just expect to be resented and rejected by us of faith, then maybe that's something new. I picked up this picture to try and help us understand. Humility, be like the bamboo. The higher you grow, the deeper you bow. Yeah, respect. And sometimes you meet people in authority, you know, high leadership, who are just very wonderful, respectful individuals, and you feel like you would, commit fully for them. And you get other people who you just would like to totally ignore. So it's an interesting dynamic we all face. And part of that, I think, comes up in this next slide. After all, Jesus said he came for the sick and not the well, for sinners and not the saints. In the words of the old gospel song, he looked beyond my faults and saw my need. True followers of Jesus distinguish themselves primarily by admitting failure and the need for help. Admitting failure and the need for help. All right, let's do a quick quiz. When was the last time you admitted you failed at something? How many people did that recently in this last year? I think I've had to be honest. I've been like, hey, look, failure is that one of those words, a bit like humility, we sort of like to avoid. Failure. You know, like, but I guess the truth is, we all fail at stuff. I've failed many times. And the fact I'm here is more testament to the fact that, not that I fail regularly, but I'm willing to get up and keep trying. And I think sometimes admitting our failures makes us accountable, makes us to be able to say, you know what, I've still got more to learn. And I think as I journey with a number of you, I know you continue to learn too, which is a wonderful thing because life keeps changing. So part of the story of grace today that leads us into our communion is really recognizing that we need to put our hands up for help too when we need it. And men, we are historically pretty bad at doing that, but I think it's such a vital, important thing that when we're struggling to be able to put our hand up and seek help is really a vital thing. And women, you girls do it so well, you know, you get together, and you, before you know it, you've solved half the world's problems. The other half is men's business, and that's why, what do you do with that? Okay, so we're going to pause and we're going to consider this invitation God has for us to embrace love in a way that is humble and embracing of others, in a way that it recognizes we make mistakes and fail, but that we ask prayerfully for help. And that's, as Christians, as people of faith, prayer is that thing that helps us connect in. So the kids are going to come back in, which is good. Thanks, Leon. And as we prepare ourselves for communion, I'd like you to just take a moment, take a breath. What is one thing you need to bring to communion today? Our time in communion is one of those special things, and I love the comment, you know, what are you expecting to happen in communion? What are you expecting to happen in communion? So, when we gather together, we remember the words of institution that Paul wrote in one of his letters. And we remember, Paul never met Jesus, but, you know, the disciples who had told him about this last meal, this last supper. And so Paul said, look, on the night that Christ was betrayed, he gathered together with his disciples, and there he broke bread with them. And he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. So we do the same thing. We break this bread, and we remember the body of Christ, which is broken for us. Paul says then afterwards, Jesus took the cup with its rich red wine and said, this wine is like my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And every time you gather together, I will be present with you. So here we are, 2,000 years later, doing the same thing, remembering that love, that response, that peace. One of the things we like doing is getting you to do some work too. So there's some responses for you to say. So let's say this together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Here and now God waits to fill our lives with His Spirit of love, to immerse us in forgiveness and new life, to be the difference in the world for others, by being a voice of love, hands and feet of hope, by giving people someone to talk to, reaching out, being molded by the grace of God. So our next slide picks up the invitation. So when we're thinking about the opportunity to pray and be a part of the lives of others, our prayer is a significant part of it. So there's a response. I'd like you to say, Lord, when we fail, help us to forgive ourselves. And we could really say, help us forgive others. So replace whatever words appropriate for you. We're going to think of the world in which we live, our community, and ourselves. So these three areas. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that your love for us is a constant thing. And we struggle somehow to see how that can make a difference in a world that is so full of conflict and hate. And yet you invite us to pray. Lord, we pray for the different places in our world that are just consumed with violence and hate and despair. We pause now and lift those places to you. If you'd like to name a country out loud or a situation, please feel free. Otherwise, just simply name them in your head. Lord, hear our prayer. Let's say together, Lord, when we fail, help us to forgive ourselves. Lord God, we think of the community, the church, that is very much a part of the world and has been for so long. We continue to pray for its witness and vision and mission. We pray for the community in which this church is a part of. We think of the fire engine we've just seen, and we pray for a real sense of peace or tranquility or whatever it might be that is a cause of that disturbance. Pray for those in Cottage Grove, those across the school, for the houses that surround us in this community. Again, I invite you to pause and maybe think of your neighbour, someone across the road, someone you haven't seen for a while, and list their name to God in prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Let's say together, Lord, when we fail, help us to forgive ourselves and others. Lord, finally, we think of ourselves, and we recognize you know us really well. You're inside our skin. You know how we think. You know how we feel. You know the things we struggle with. You know what we despair with. You know what we celebrate with. You know what love language we have. Lord, we offer to you our prayers for our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us again with your hope and life and love. Again, give you a moment to ask and think and pray. Lord, hear our prayer. Let's say together, Lord, when we fail, help us to forgive ourselves. Let's share together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. One of my favorite parts of communion is this little quote I'm going to say. When we had no name and no future, you called us your children. When we were lost or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms open wide and welcome. You prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. So the invitation is to come to communion not because your faith is this big, not because your faith is that big. Come not because I invite you, but because Jesus himself has set this table as a way of a sacred sign of discovering love more fully. So today, as you remain in your seats, we will come past and offer you this bread and this grape juice, and I invite you to hold it so we may take this together. Those who are serving, could you come forward, please? Friends, let's eat and remember the love of Christ that has been broken for us, the body of Christ. Friends, let's drink together. Remember, as the body of Christ, we share in the love of Christ through his blood. Amen. Let me share a prayer and then we'll figure out what we do with the glasses. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love that shapes us and fills us. We ask for your Holy Spirit to continue to sustain us in this week. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got the next slide after this, which is our responsive prayer. So the next slide. Let's say this together. God in community, holy in one, continue to create, continue to speak, continue to breathe for us, on us, through us, for us, until we can do it for others. Amen. So, Leon, what are we going to do with the glasses? Okay, Leon wants to go around and pick them up, so we'll do that. Thanks, Adrian. Get this group organised. Come on.
You know, when David asked about faith earlier on the start of the sermon, I was thinking about how God has just been so present and active in my life over the years. I've been a Christian now since about 1980. A long, long time. Well, for me, it's a long, long time. And one of the things I've discovered, and I only discovered that sort of in the last week or so, is that everything that's happened in my life and my faith walk with Jesus has prepared me for the next aspect of my life. Now, I've served time in the army, and that's prepared my discipline and got me disciplined in what I do. I've worked in all sorts of environments, from retail to, yeah, just about everything. Taxi driving, the whole works. Last Friday, the 24th of February, I actually finished an 8-month contract working with my plan manager, who was a National Disability Insurance provider. And it was a great 8 months. I loved the time there, but it was a short-term contract, and it finished. But just before I left, I actually applied for a job with another disability provider, and I went for an interview the other day, and I went for the interview at 9 o'clock in the morning, and at 12:30 in the afternoon they rang me and said they'd like to offer me the position. So basically I got a full-time permanent position now, which will see me through until I retire, working with a disability provider, because the work I was doing at NPM prepared me for the new one. was working in such a wonderful, friendly, family environment. They really are a great bunch of people. And the people I'm going to work with are the same thing. They were saying family. So my faith journey, the thing that I take out of faith is, whatever it is that's happening in your life, have faith that God is preparing you for something better to come. And that's how I've led my life. And in particular, in the past 11 and a bit years that I've been married to Kirsten, 12 and a bit years that I've been married to Kirsten, because God prepared me for that as well. Marriage 12 years ago. Now, when we started the service, we did a medley with three songs. I want you to drop the first one, the I've Got a River of Life, but we're going to finish with those, This Is the Day, and Rejoice in the Lord Always. Exactly the same way, except we can drop that one. And I'm hoping that because of the bright start to the service, and the bright finish to the service, that you will all have that feeling inside you that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be happy. And because of that happy, we can carry that love to other people out there. And let's remember that God is with us all the time. So let's sing, This Is the Day, and Rejoice in the Lord Always.
This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord.
Grateful, joyful sound. Go forth into this week knowing that the love of God surrounds you. And in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
And just a reminder, we do have prayer. If anybody's been touched by the service and they'd like prayer,
indeed.
I've done somebody with that.
Thank
you.
This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.